time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back into Mitten Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It is another weekend. We're about to talk a whole bunch of things. Michigan sports, whether it's happening over in Detroit with our professional teams playing out of Little Caesars Arena, the Pistons, the Red Wings, and how they continue to dominate their side of their respective sports and are preparing to make some playoff pushes after the All-Star break, as both of those are coming up pretty soon. And of course, we'll be talking Michigan and Michigan State, as both of their basketball teams have been making a phenomenal name for the state of Michigan and have made tons of fans across the state of Michigan happy to be basketball fans. We'll step into the Breslin Center. We'll step into the Chrysler Center. And we'll talk a ton about what those two teams have going on. Well, then, of course, you know, we'll get into our picks to end out the show. We're almost done with this round of picks. You know, next week is the big game when it comes down to football. So we'll pick that between the Seahawks and the Patriots. And after that, we'll get into a new season of picks, as, you know, I did a phenomenal job of staying above 500 once again this round trip. With that being said, the weekend is upon us. I'm really excited for this weekend. Love and Basketball is happening out at Lori Norks today. First game's at 1:30. There will be plenty of teams in action today. Come out and see some good high school basketball. Also, obviously, college basketball through the roof this weekend. NBA, NHL, and then we got some UFC going down, which I'm a big fan of UFC moving over to the Paramount Plus and getting away from ESPN and having those pay-per-views. There's no more pay-per-view. If you have Paramount Plus, you can watch UFC for free, and I absolutely love that as a fan of UFC and someone who has a Paramount Plus subscription. I'm excited for all of the UFC bouts that we're going to be seeing this year. I'm doing fantastic. Made it through another week, and I'm happy to be here. Not stressed about the Super Bowl whatsoever because my team is not in it. I can care less who wins it, but Michigan basketball has surely had me on the ropes the last couple of weeks. Lacrosse is going well, getting things together for my high school season to come around, doing some off-season training for both high school and travel squads, and just started a new lacrosse podcast outside of work. So that's also really cool. A lot of tons of fun happening in the lacrosse world. But it's time for us to talk about some things happening inside the state of Michigan. The Mitten, when it comes to basketball, is at an all-time high. Everybody that likes basketball in the state of Michigan should be happy, regardless of what college team you support. Between Michigan and Michigan State, you still have the Pistons to fall back on, who have been absolutely fantastic. We'll talk about the Pistons in just a second. For our college segment, we'll start in Ann Arbor. The Michigan Wolverines are 19-1. They are tied atop the Big Ten with Nebraska, Michigan State, and Illinois, which they technically have the tiebreaker over Nebraska after taking them down earlier this week on Tuesday, which we'll dive into that game in just a moment. They're going to, let me watch myself. Almost said something prematurely that I have no clue about. Y'all are listening to this, and y'all know what happened last night between Michigan and Michigan State. Y'all know who won already. I don't, because, well, as you know, everything that I'm talking about right now was done on Friday. So it's tough for me to say, you know, what that tiebreaker looks like between Michigan and Michigan State. But one of them is coming off a win as I'm talking about this, and one of them is coming off a loss. One of them is securely, well, hold on. Michigan winning puts them securely atop of the Big Ten. Unless Illinois wins, then they're still tied with Illinois. And then there's tiebreakers that come into it there, which technically they would be above Illinois because Illinois is 18-3. Michigan is 19-1. If Michigan State were to win, they would be behind Nebraska. So they would still be technically in second, while Nebraska would technically have first, with just that one conference loss. So things can get shaken up in the Big Ten near the top coming off of this weekend. Purdue has lost a couple in a row. They're now 7-3, along with Wisconsin and UCLA. Then you got 6-4, 5-4, 5-5, Ohio State, Iowa, Indiana. Then down at the bottom, Penn State still winless in conference play. Maryland and Oregon each have one conference win. Northwestern and Rutgers two, and so on. So clearly disparity between the Big Ten and who is playing the best and who is not. So Michigan coming off their win against Nebraska, which we'll take a look at right now. They ended up winning this game by three. Merez Johnson had 17 and 12 on 5 of 6 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Elliot Cadeau, while he had 7 assists, he did turn it over 8 times himself in 33 minutes of play. This is one of the most even games Michigan has had all year. They shot 47% from the field, the Cornhuskers 46. But Nebraska was great from behind the arc at 34%, while Michigan just 23. And then Nebraska only shot 4 free throws in the game. They made 3 of them at 75% clip. But when you give up 23 free throws, Michigan makes 19 of them for 83%. It might be hard to win that game. Michigan had 19 turnovers, though, and just 11 for the Cornhuskers. 23 rebounds for Nebraska in comparison to 35 for Michigan. Nebraska almost led this game from wire to wire. They led this game for 91% of this game. Only 5% was Michigan in the lead, but that's all they needed. Their largest lead was only 3, which they captured at the end of the game. And then Nebraska's largest lead was 11. Trey McKinney was huge off the bench for this team. Merez Johnson has continued to be one of their best players. Yaxel Lagnenborg had a little bit of a shooting slump and has been in a shooting slump for a little bit, but he also impacts the game in so many other ways. His presence on the floor is just demanding. Teams have to respect him on the offensive end. And then defensively, he just adds to what they have down low. When you have Merez Johnson standing at 6'11", when you have Ade Mara standing at 7'3", and then you have Yaxel Lagnenborg standing at 6 foot. Will Shedder is also 6'10". It's hard to score on teams that have that kind of size, especially when they are as smart and as skilled IQ-wise in the game of basketball. That is what is causing Michigan to have success. But, I mean, Peyton Samford, I mean, he balled in this game. Price Samford balled in this game. 20 points on 6 of 18 shooting, 3 for 4 from the free throw line. He was the only one who went to the free throw line for Nebraska because he was getting downhill, getting to the bucket, and forcing them to foul him. Sam Hoiberg, I mean, hey, he tried. Hoiberg tried. He had 7 rebounds, and he had 5 assists, no turnovers, in his 39 minutes of play. He had a handful of points as well, but just not enough. Michigan did not cover the spread, but they surely won the game, and I think that's really all that matters. I won't say anything about the proposed game because we talked about it last week, and I don't have anything more to say about it. So coming up into the following week, on the 5th, which is next Thursday, they'll take on Penn State. And the Penn State game, well, they're giving Michigan a 97.9% chance to win this game, just a 2.1% chance for Penn State. But if we remember, Michigan only beat Penn State by 4 on the road earlier this year. So this is not a gimme, although Penn State is 9-12 and 0-10 in the Big Ten. They will have Caden Mingo. They will have Ivan Juric. So this team will be poised and ready to go. They just give up a lot of points and really can't seem to score as many as they need to. I mean, they have some big losses on here. 21-point loss to Northwestern, a 27-point loss to Wisconsin, another 23-point loss to Maryland, 11-point loss to LSU or UCLA, and an 8-point loss to Ohio State. They can't win. And those are all teams that Michigan has beat so far this year, or they haven't played yet, which is not good for Penn State. But Michigan can kind of breathe a little bit after they play Michigan State, as they play Penn State, Ohio State, Northwestern, UCLA, 4 straight games against unranked opponents before they have Purdue and Duke, Illinois and Michigan State in their last 6 games where those 4 are ranked. That's tough and a hard stretch for them, but Michigan has played at the top of the country for all season. Yaxel Lagnenborg leads the team with 14.1 points per game on 50.3% shooting. in 27.7 minutes. Obviously, Elliott Cadeau has 10.1 points, 5.2 assists, 2.7 turnovers. Merez Johnson, 13.9 points per game, 69.3% from the shooting, 7.2 rebounds per game for him as well in 23.6 minutes of play. 1.4 steals for Yaxel Lannenborg with just 1.1 turnovers. And Adey Mara, half a steal, 7.1 rebounds, and 2.6 blocks per game. They're 11th in the country with 90.9 points per game. They're tied 18th for rebounds with 42 and tied 15th with assists at 19. They only give up 68.8 points per game. We're going to transfer things over to East Lansing and talk about the Michigan State Spartans, who are 19-2. Their two losses are to Duke and Nebraska, so those are both great losses, tier one losses that will not really affect Michigan State down the road. They're coming in on a win streak, and USC, Northwestern, Indiana, Washington, Oregon, Maryland, Rutgers, 7 in a row for Michigan State since they lost to Nebraska. Some of them are close games. Some of them are blowouts. They've been able to play with the best of the best and continue to play their style and branding of basketball that has led to success. Obviously, they have a big-time matchup that happened last night. So we'll see how they pull out of that. But it also gets a little bit easier for them. They play Minnesota, then Illinois, but then Wisconsin, UCLA, Ohio State, all right after each other before playing Purdue, Indiana, Rutgers, and then finishing out with Michigan. So only a couple more ranked teams for them on their schedule as things smooth out into March and get ready for conference play and eventually NCAA tournament play. They're led by Jeremy Fears, who has 14.1 points, 8.9 assists per game, just 2.2 turnovers, 1.1 steals, all on 45.3% shooting and 30.7 minutes of play. They're led by Colin Walton, who has 100% field goal percentage. I mean, he probably only has so many shots on the year, but he only plays 1.3 minutes and averages 0.3 points per game. Jackson Kohler has 9.3 rebounds, along with Carson Cooper pouring in 1.1 blocks per game with 0.8 steals and 7.5 rebounds. They are tied for 127th in the country at 79.5 points per game, 41.4 rebounds, per game, good for 26th, 18.9 assists per game, good for 20th. They only give up 63.5 points per game, which I think is where a lot of their success is coming for them. I mean, I want to point out this Maryland game for a second. They won this Maryland game 91-48. Jeremy Fears had 17 points and matched that with 17 assists. He shot 6-for-8 from the field, 4-for-4 from the free throw line, only had 4 turnovers, and did all of that in 25 minutes of play. The Spartans shot 61% from the field, 47% from the three-point line, 74% from the free throw line, only had 8 turnovers, 35 rebounds in this game. They led basically from wire to wire. The only time they didn't lead was at the beginning of the game when it was 0-0, and their largest lead was 43. Dominance by the Spartans in this game, and then they followed that up and went into Rutgers and came out with an 88-79 win in overtime. This was a game where Michigan State had their backs to the wall. Tariq Francis had 23 points, 6 of 17 from the field, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Jamichael Davis had 5 assists, no turnovers, and 40 minutes of play. But Jeremy Fears Jr. continued to do what he does best. 29 points on 6 of 12 shooting, 16 of 17 from the free throw line. 9 assists with just 3 turnovers and 36 minutes of play. Got 14 rebounds from Carson Cooper. The Spartans shoot 49% from the field, 92% from the free throw line, and that ended up being the difference in this game. They had 15 turnovers, though, and if they turn the ball over that much against Michigan, Illinois, Purdue, it's going to be tough for Michigan State to finish out near the top of the Big Ten, which they will. They will be a top 4, top 5 seed in the Big Ten. They'll be a 3-4 seed in the NCAA tournament, and they'll be able to make a run, as they always do. I'm going to be a homer here for a second, and I really hope that I am talking about all of this after a Michigan win. I'm very excited to watch that game and see, really good basketball happen between two very good teams who will be making runs in not only the Big Ten tournament, but the national tournament as well. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking more basketball, but Of course, we'll be doing it over in Little Caesars Arena in the city of Detroit, talking about the number one seeded Eastern Conference Detroit Pistons. But that's coming up after the break when we talk more mid-madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to step inside of Little Caesars Arena. We want to talk about professional basketball. It is the Detroit Pistons who are sitting atop not only the Central Division, but the entire Eastern Conference and are the second best team in the entire NBA. I mean, let's just start with the standings there. I mean, there's plenty to talk about when you open up like that. They're 34-12, 5.5 games above both the Knicks and the Celtics, who are 29-18. They're 6.5 games above both the Raptors and Cavaliers, who are 29-20, and then 8.5 games above the 76ers, who are 26-21. That is your top six in the Eastern Conference. Then the Heat are 26-23, 9.5 games back, 24-22, 10 games back are the Magic, 24-26, 12 games back are the Hawks, and also 12 games back are the Bulls at 23-25. That's your 7-10 for the play-in. Out west, the Thunder still reign supreme at 38-11. They're 5 games above the Spurs, who are 32-15. 5.5 games above the Nuggets, who are 32-16. 7.5 above the Rockets, 29-17. 30-19, 8 games above the Timberwolves, and 8.5 above the Lakers at 28-18. It's the top six out west. Looking at the league overall, the Pistons are just 2.5 games behind the Thunder, who are 38-11. 34-12 are the Pistons. Obviously, the Thunder have played a few more games than the Pistons have, so that will also factor into if the Pistons will be able to jump ahead of them and be considered the best team in the NBA by record at some point. But for now, I think everything is pacing extremely well for them, and they should not be in a rush to try and overtake that top spot. Looking at the leaders for this team, Cade Cunningham, 25.3 points per game, 9.7 assists, just 3.8 turnovers per game in that span, shooting 45.4% from the field in 35.4 minutes of play. Jalen Duren has 17.9 points per game, shooting 63.8% from the field with 10.6 rebounds. doing all of that in 28.2 minutes of play. Assur Thompson has 1.7 steals and only turning it over 1.5 times in 25.6 minutes. And Isaiah Stewart, 0.3 steals, 5.5 rebounds, 1.9 blocks as he continues to advocate to be Defensive Player of the Year. 116.8 points per game for the Pistons, 45.7 rebounds per game, 26.6 assists. Now let's jump into this schedule. They are coming off of, well, an embarrassing loss Thursday night to the Phoenix Suns. They did bounce back the next day. They will play Golden State. That's an ESPN game. As you guys know, I was not able to tell you how that goes because I didn't know what happened yet. They did beat Denver and Sacramento in back-to-back games after dropping a game to Houston at home by 7. They beat Sacramento by 23, so there's no concerns there. Turned around and beat Denver by 2 on the road. They are currently on a road trip as well, but I want to talk about this Phoenix game and how disappointing it was. Why was it so disappointing, you ask? Well, they gave up 40 points to Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks scored 40 points. He shot 13 of 22 from the field, 10 of 12 from the free throw line, and ended up pouring in 40 points. Igodaro had 9 rebounds. Grayson Allen, 2 turnovers to go with his 5 assists and 34 minutes of play. The Suns shot 47% from the field, 38 from behind the arc, and 83 from the free throw line. Pistons 43-21, 76 in their splits. The Suns turned it over 17 times in comparison to just 9 for the Pistons. They out-rebounded the Pistons by 10, 47-37. They led for 95% of the game, and their largest lead was 21. This is the roughest loss for the Pistons, and I don't even know how long. It's been a long time since the Pistons have lost by 20-some and allowed somebody to drop 40. Now, yes, Kawhi Leonard dropped 55, but they won that game by a handful of points. They didn't blow the Pistons out in that game. The Pistons got blown out in this game, and they let Dylan Brooks, of all people, score 40. When has Dylan Brooks ever been a 40-ball kind of guy? Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, never. Dylan Brooks has never been the guy to drop a 40-ball on anyone. And let alone he did it to the Pistons. Got to give him his props. He had a very good game, and it turned out to be exactly what they needed to have some success there. But also want to talk about the Denver game, as that was earlier this week on Tuesday. Unc Tobias Harris popped out and had himself a game. Shot 10 of 15 from the field, 2 for 2 from the free throw line for 22 points. He had 8 rebounds. Cade Cunningham, no turnovers, but 11 assists in 36 minutes of play. Jamal Murray led the Nuggets with 24 and 10. Valanciunas had 16 rebounds. Murray shot 7 of 18 from the field, 10 of 15 from the free throw line, 39 minutes of play, and just 2 turnovers. The shooting splits very similar for these teams. 47 to 48 in favor of Denver in field goals, 34 to 19 in three-point shooting in favor of Denver, 83 to 74 on the free throw line in favor of Detroit. Turnovers in favor of the Pistons, 7 for our hometown boys, 15 for the Nuggets. The Nuggets did out-rebound the Pistons by 8, 49-41, but the Pistons led for 98% of this game and only trailed for 1% of it. Their largest lead of the game was 18, but they did surrender that, as you hear, only winning this game by 2. There was never a point in this game where they thought Denver would win. The closest Denver got to winning this game, even when they were leading at one point, was 36.7%. That's the closest that they felt they had a chance to win this game, which I think is bananas, considering that they crawled their way back into this game from being down 18 and then ended up only losing by 2. The Pistons have some things to clear up, mostly their three-point shooting and then the defense. I mean, they're allowing teams to absolutely burn it up from outside the arc at the moment. A lot of teams shooting 30, 40% from the three-point line, which isn't great, but when you think about the NBA and you're only shooting 19% in a game, that's not good for you. You can let a team shoot 34 if you're going to shoot 28. Because now you're knocking down just about as many threes as they are, and then they have to compete with you elsewhere on the floor, which is where you tend to be a little bit better. So that's my main thing for the Pistons, is they have to go out and they have to be able to shoot with teams on the perimeter, or limit their shooting. Make them turn into bad shooting teams from outside the arc, because you can't let teams spray you from deep and then trade twos. You're either not going to win games that way, or you're going to win games in fashions that aren't going to help you be successful later on down the road. Coming up this weekend, Sunday, they play Brooklyn, which Brooklyn I don't know much about this year. I know Danny Wolf is out there from the Michigan Wolverines last year, but they're 12-34. They're fifth in the Atlantic Division, and they're currently on a 7-game losing streak. So things have not been good for Brooklyn. In that time, they have lost it. Their last win was against the Bulls by 3, and then they turn around and they lost to the Bulls by 22. And then they lost to the Suns. Then they got absolutely demolished by the Knicks, 120-66. They lost to the Celtics. They lost 126-89 to the Clippers. Then they lost to the Suns. Then they lost to the Nuggets. They're on the road against the Jazz before they play the Pistons. So it doesn't get any easier for Brooklyn when they come to town. And that'll be the first game back in town for the Pistons after their 3-game road trip out west. Then they'll welcome Denver into town on Tuesday. I'm not going to talk pretty much anything about that game, because I will be talking about that in the picks segment later on in the show. Looking at this Brooklyn game, they're giving the Pistons an 82.9% chance to win this game, as Michael Porter Jr. and Nick Claxton lead the Nets this season in terms of points, rebounds, assists, etc. In fact, Nick Claxton leads their team with 4.1 assists per game. Tolu Smith and Caris LeVert are out. Well, Caris LeVert is a game time decision with an illness, so he may be back by the time for this game. I mentioned, I did not know it was double overtime in that game against Boston that they lost 130-126. Obviously, the Pistons have the 2 losses in their last 5, but they're still playing extremely well, and they're 18-5 at home, so I don't see any reason why they would lose to Brooklyn. As I mentioned, they play Denver. Then on Thursday, they're going to play Washington, which also isn't a huge deal for them. Washington, an 8.3% chance. They're led by Alex Sarr and Keyshawn George, who have been phenomenal for them as young stars. But they're young, and they still have a ton to learn. Pistons won the first matchup between these two, 135 in overtime on November 10th. They're giving the Pistons a 91.7% chance to win this game. Chris Middleton and Trey Johnson are both game-time decisions. Marvin Bagley, also a game-time decision for the Wizards. The Wizards picked up two wins in a row, actually, over Portland and Milwaukee after losing to Charlotte, Denver, and the Clippers. So we'll see if they're able to steal one from the Pistons as well. But tough thing is, they're going on the road. They're 4-19 when they're playing away from the D.C. area. And as we just mentioned, the Pistons are 18-5 when they're in Little Caesars Arena. Then the big matchup of the week, well, the other big matchup, the New York Knicks are coming to town. This is a 50.1% chance for the Knicks, 49.9% chance from Detroit. If there's two teams to ever be split down the middle, apparently this is the reason why. But I don't know, because the Pistons won their first matchup 121-90. So what are you talking about? They beat them by 31. And that was at home, and now they're going to play again at home in Little Caesars Arena, where they're 18-5. They're going to look to do the same thing they did last time. Obviously, the Knicks will kind of be snake bitten, and will try and look to get revenge. So that will make it a little bit interesting. But that's what's coming up for the Pistons in the next couple of weeks. When we come back from the break, we'll switch over, lay the ice down, and talk about their roommates in the Detroit Red Wings. With more Mid Madness here on 95.3.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time to talk about the Red Wings. Lay down the ice inside of Little Caesars Arena, and they are now second in the Atlantic Division. Couple of tough games this past weekend allowed for the Tampa Bay Lightning to surpass them, as they are now 34-14-4 for 72 points, whereas the Red Wings are 32-17-6 for 70 points, but there is a three-way tie behind them between the Sabres, Canadiens, and Bruins, who all have 67 points and are 31-17-5, 30-17-7, and 32-20-3, respectively. The Panthers, 28-22-3 for 59 points, and then 57 points apiece are the Ottawa Senators and Toronto Maple Leafs, 25-21-7, 24-21-9, respectively. When you look at the conference overall, that pits the Tigers, or the, excuse me, the Red Wings in third place in the Eastern Conference. Tampa Bay Lightning are atop at 72. The Hurricanes have dropped and are now second with 71 points, 33-15-5. And then the Red Wings, 70 points, 32-17-6 through 55 games played. One of the few teams, or actually that's the most games played in the NHL. Tied with them are the Edmonton Oilers, the Minnesota Wild, and the Washington Capitals. Everyone else about 52, 53, 54 games. Everyone is in between that range. Looking at the league overall, that pits the Red Wings in sixth place, which is technically, because there's a couple tiebreakers, puts them in sixth place. Colorado Avalanche at the top with 79 points, 35-8-9 on the year. Then you have the Lightning and the Wild, the Hurricanes and the Stars, which are both tied. The Lightning and Wild have 72 points apiece, and then the Hurricanes and Stars have 71 before your Red Wings come in with 70. Looking at the leaders for this Red Wings team, DeBrincat still doing what DeBrincat does. He's got 30 of the Genos on the year, 11 power play goals on 199 shots. Lucas Raymond really making a name for himself and leading this team. The left winger has 40 assists, 17 of them on the power play. He's also got 18 goals on the year, giving him 58 points and a plus minus of 11. Goaltending, John Gibson has been a star and a huge reason why the Red Wings have had continual success. 2.61 goals against average. He has a save percentage of .905. He has 829 saves as he's seen 916 shots, only giving up 87 goals. And he's got 21 wins on the year. The team gives up 3.07 goals per game. They score 3.07 goals per game. They only give up 2.96 goals per game, which is good for 12th in the league. The power play sitting 23.6%, good for 8th in the league. Penalty kill, 79.3%, which is a little bit lower than half of the league at 18th. So they're doing a phenomenal job of pacing themselves to be one of the best teams in the NHL, which is why we see them sitting at 6th. But what has happened over the last week that has gotten them to fall behind in the standings? Well, the last time we talked, they were preparing to play Winnipeg. They did beat Winnipeg and beat the doors off Winnipeg, 5-1 on the road. So they ended their road trip 2-1. They had the one overtime loss to Minnesota, but they did beat Toronto on the road 2-1 in overtime. And then obviously the 5-1 shellacking of Winnipeg. And then Tuesday, that's when things started to go downhill. And these were home games too, right at Little Caesars Arena. They lose to the Kings 3-1. But they did pick up a point Thursday night when they lost to Washington 4-3 in the shootout, which I figured they might have been able to win that Washington game after, I believe, splitting with Washington earlier in the year. Oh, no, they beat Washington twice already earlier this year. So they were going for that sweep in the season. They weren't able to convert on that sweep. So that's a huge blow there. They were trying to get the sweep after just getting a sweep over Toronto the week before. But, hey, you feel confident going against the Capitals because you beat them twice and then you lost in a shootout. To me, that's, one, a team that you are very competitive with, a team that you play very well against, but also one that you have an upper hand against. You won 5-2, and then you won 3-2 in overtime. The one time they won, it had to go all the way to a shootout. You are clearly better than the Capitals, but what they have coming up this week, well, it's a little bit different. They got a home-and-home with Colorado, the Avalanche, who are, checks notes, the best team in the NHL. We just talked about it with the standings. They're sitting up atop. They have 8 losses, but they have 9 overtime losses. So out of all their games, there's only 17 of them where they didn't win, and there's only 8 of them where they didn't get any points at all. There's a reason that they're atop of the NHL. They're playing phenomenal hockey. They have to welcome them into Little Caesars Arena. That's coming up later today on ABC, 1 p.m. But then on Monday, they're going out to Colorado to then play the Avalanche in back-to-back games and a home-and-home. And that's the start of a road trip for them, sort of, because they'll play on Wednesday against the Utah Mammoth on the road, but then they get the All-Star break and hiatus. But when they come back from it, they'll be right back on the road. February 26th at Ottawa, February 28th at Carolina, and Monday, March 2nd at Nashville. So it'll be some time before Red Wings fans get to see another home game at Little Caesars Arena. You have later today, which is awesome, but then the Red Wings do not play another home game until March 4th against the Vegas Knights. They're on the road for quite some time, and then you have the break as well in there with the All-Star game competition weekend. So a long time for them to be out on the road, a long time for them to be playing away from home, essentially. But I think if they're able to come out of that with just 3 wins in that span, I think they're great. And they get to come back home for a little bit of a rest before going back out on the road. I'm not going to talk a ton about the first Colorado game because that will be incorporated into our picks, which are coming up pretty soon. The second one, oh, wow, these are both of their matchups. They're back-to-back. I don't know how I feel about them playing an entire series against a team in back-to-back fashion. It's hard to beat a team 2 times. It's extremely hard to beat a team 2 times in a row. When you got to play that team and then turn around and play them again, it's hard, especially when you see it in the playoffs all the time. A team will go out and win in dominating fashion and turn around game 2 and just not play well at all. You're like, how were you that much better than them 2 nights ago, but now tonight you're just terrible? Like, it makes zero sense, I know, but that's just how sports go. So it'll be interesting to see if either one of these teams is able to come out with a sweep. Obviously, I don't want it to be Colorado. If you ask me, the Red Wings would be phenomenal to come out of this with a sweep. Not only are those huge momentum boosters for them heading into the All-Star break, but also more points and a great chance for them to try and get back to the top of the Eastern Conference. And that's the best team in the NHL. If you can beat them, you can beat anybody. You literally feel like you are at the top of the league when you beat a team that is playing as well as the Colorado Avalanche have been playing. And then the Utah Mammoth is, I believe, the first matchup against the Utah, or no, excuse me, second. And they did lose to Utah earlier this year, 4-1 back on December 17th. So that's going to be an uphill battle for the Red Wings as they'll try to even things up in that that series there and split that series for the season 1-1. But I think the Red Wings are in a phenomenal position. They have nothing to be concerned about. They have nothing to pressure themselves with. They just have to stay healthy and stay consistent coming out of the All-Star break. Most importantly, continue to go to these overtime and shootout games. If you lose in overtime and shootout, you get a point. If you don't, you don't. And it's more important to get points and keep your standing near the top of this Atlantic Division and the top of the Eastern Conference to guarantee yourself a playoff spot and stay out of that wild card mess. That is everything we got for the Red Wings. We'll touch in base with them again in the picks, but also next week when we got more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. Welcome back to the Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for the picks. One of my favorite parts of the show. It's time to see who really knows ball and who doesn't. What I've been told is that you cannot say that you know ball yourself. Somebody else has to tell you that you know ball for it to be valid. So I'm asking y'all, do I know ball or do I just think I know ball? And also, I want to know if you think you know ball better than I do. Use the chat feature in the 95.3 Ticket app and listen to all the picks and decide if, you know, you agree with them or not. Of course, I'll do my deliberation here, my research, tell you what I think and make my picks based off of what I got going on inside of my big brain. And then you can write down the games, do your own deliberation, do your own research, have your own picks, submit them to the chat feature in the Ticket app and play right along and see if you're able to beat me. You know, Jacob tried and he did not succeed. You know, he tied me once, but he could not beat me. So are you able to beat me? Are you able to be better than I am at making picks and knowing ball? It's only one way to find out. Hit that chat feature in the 95.3 Ticket, the app. It's going to give you an opportunity to play right along. We got six more games loaded up as last week. Had another 4-2 weeks, so not too bad. Obviously, I was let down by Houston, who lost to Texas Tech in a thriller of a game as Fleming dropped in 42 points. But then also, Purdue dropped their game to Illinois after none other than Keaton Wagler went for 46. This was the same day that A.J. DeBonta for BYU dropped 43. It was an insane day for freshmen. A lot of big teams showed up. So I got two losses there, but I picked up wins with the Patriots, Seahawks, Michigan, and Justin Gaethje in the UFC bouts. So I was able to go 4-2, bumping me up to 88-50 as we got two more weeks left in this season. We got six more games loaded up in this week, four of them going down on the hardwood, one of them going down on an ice rink, and the last one is in an octagon. We'll start on the hardwood with another top 10 matchup in the country. The ninth-ranked Illinois Fighting Illini are 18-3, 9-1 in the Big Ten. They're taking on Nebraska, the fifth-ranked team in the country, 20-1, 9-1 in the Big Ten, suffering their first loss Tuesday by hands of Michigan. They're giving Nebraska a 54.1% chance to win this game, 45.9% chance for Illinois. This game is at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska. As we mentioned, Keaton Wagler goes for 17.7 points per game on 48% from the field, 81.5 from the free throw line. David Markovich grabs 8.2 rebounds. Wagler also has 4.2 assists on just 1.5 turnovers per game in 32 minutes of play. 85 points per game for Illinois. They do give up 68, which is three more than what Nebraska gives up. Nebraska scores 80 points per game. Nebraska has 18 assists. That's four more than Illinois. Illinois grabs six more rebounds than Nebraska does. They also block three more shots than Nebraska does. And Nebraska grabs four more steals than Illinois does. Illinois is 5-0 in their last five, wins over Northwestern, Minnesota, Maryland, Purdue, and Washington, while Nebraska 4-1, their lone loss to Michigan by three, which is the number three team in the country. Even though Nebraska's coming off a loss, Illinois coming off a win, I think this game says more about Nebraska than it does Illinois. I think if Nebraska's able to bounce back, which I think they will, and win this game, it proves that they are a top five team. You know, losing by three to a top three team in the country and then bouncing back and winning a top 10 game on Saturday after you just lost on Tuesday to a very good team shows how good you are. And I think that's what Nebraska is going to do this weekend. Their defense is phenomenal. Makes it very hard for anyone to get a open shot off, a good shot off, and then make that shot. And then they do a great job on the defensive boards. And they also in the passing lanes and very disruptive. So if they're able to pour in the way they did against Michigan with Samford, Boykintel, Hoiberg, etc., then they're going to be in good shape. Also, they had two of their top scorers out against Michigan. Those guys come back, they could see some success. So I'm going to take Nebraska to take down Illinois. It's going to move us over into the Big 12. The 17-3, 5-2 in the Big 12, 13th-ranked BYU Cougars take on the Kansas Jayhawks, who are 14th in the country at 15-5, 5-2 in the Big 12 as well. Kansas getting a 62.5% chance, 37.5 for BYU. I mean, Kansas is Kansas and has always been Kansas. They average 78 points per game. They give up 67. BYU averages 86 and gives up 70. They both shoot about 48% from the field. They both grab about 40 rebounds. Both have 15 assists. Just a few more blocks for Kansas and BYU, but almost four more steals for BYU than Kansas. Kansas is 4-1 in their last five. Two losses for BYU, but they have also played Texas Tech and Arizona in that stretch. They beat Utah twice in that stretch. Meanwhile, Kansas has wins over Kansas State, Colorado, Baylor, Iowa State, and West Virginia. This game's a little bit tougher for me. Big 12 basketball is a little more closer together. Like, a lot more teams are more competitive. Like, obviously, Arizona's way at the top at 8-0, but then after that, it gets pretty sticky with who could beat who. This is a game with two teams that are basically the same. But I'm going to take the road team because I have a little bit more trust in AJ DeBonsa and how well he plays the game and brings the energy to the floor for his team and has his team rise to that level, even though this game will be at Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas. That gets us over into the SEC, where the 23rd-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide, 14-6, 4-3 in the SEC, are taking on the Florida Gators, who are 19th in the country, 15-6, and they're 6-2 in the SEC. They're giving Florida a 73.2% chance to win, while giving Alabama just a 26.8% chance. This game will be at the Stephen C. O'Connell Center in Gainesville, Florida. Alabama scores 92 points per game. They give up 81. The problem for Bama is Florida only gives up 71 points per game while scoring 85. They both shoot about 46% from the field. Five more rebounds for the Gators. They both have about 16 assists, five blocks, and just about seven steals. So another very even game across the board. Two losses for Bama in their last five. One to Tennessee by six, the other to Texas by four. And then they were able to take care of business against Oklahoma, Mississippi State, and Mizzou. While Florida, their one loss is to Auburn, and that was a 9-point loss. Meanwhile, they have a big win over South Carolina, a large win over LSU, 4-point win over Vandy, and then they took care of business against OU, where they beat OU by almost 20, 17 to be exact. Meanwhile, Alabama only beat OU by two. So, for me, this one's pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to go with the Gators with all the success that they've had against common opponents and also just the statistics kind of pointing toward them being a better defensive team, which should lead to some success down the road. Getting us over into the NBA, the Denver Nuggets are visiting your Detroit Pistons. This game will be Tuesday, February 3rd. It will be on NBA League Pass and FanDuel Sports Detroit. Pistons are 34-12, 18-5 at home, excuse me. Denver Nuggets 32-16, 19-7 on the road. 37.7% chance for Denver, 62.3% chance for Detroit. Detroit just did win the first game of this matchup on the road on the 27th, 109-107. Lots of injuries still for the Nuggets. Jokic may be back for that February 3rd game. You have Aaron Gordon, who's currently out with a hamstring until the 27th. You have Christian Brown, who's out right now with an ankle injury, supposed to be back on the 1st. Cameron Johnson, supposed to be back on the 3rd with a knee injury. So that will factor into all of this as well. I'm not even worried about the statistics because I know how good both of these teams are. I know how well they play each other. They're both 3-2 in their last five. The one difference is the Nuggets have a loss to the Pistons, and now they have to go to Little Caesars Arena, where the Pistons have been far better this year than they have been in the past, which means I'm going to roll with the Pistons because why would I choose anybody else? Pistons have been fantastic. I think that they sweep the Nuggets, and they try and get back onto the winning ways and start another win streak this year coming out of the All-Star break, which is coming up pretty soon as well. Getting us over to another team that plays inside of Little Caesars Arena and will be playing inside of Little Caesars Arena later today, 1 p.m. ABC against the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche are the number one team in the NHL at 35-8-9. They're 15-6-5 on the road. The only good thing for the Red Wings is they are 18-9-2 at home in their 32-17-6 record. This is the first of two games in basically as many days. They play later today, then they play again on Monday. 2-2, that game will be on ESPN Plus. So we'll see kind of how this will shape out. But, I mean, both of these teams are very, very good. Wedgewood only giving up 2.30 goals per game. Blackwood only giving up 2.44 goals per game. Both of them only surrendering four losses, five overtime losses for Wedgewood, one for Blackwood. 9.12 save percentage for Wedgewood, 9.09 for Blackwood. Colorado, negative 148 on the money line, plus 124 for Detroit, 1.5 on the spread. I may be crazy, but I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to take the Red Wings because they're playing at home where they are 18-9-2 and have had a ton of success playing inside of Little Caesars Arena. Our last game of the week is a matchup inside of the Octagon featherweight main event title fight between Alexander Volkanovski and Diego Lopez. This will be on Paramount Plus. The Australian Volkanovski against Lopez, the Brazilian. Volkanovski is 5'6", 145, 37 years old, 71.5 on the reach, orthodox fighting stance, who lands 6.18 significant strikes per minute or per match, and it has a 59.82% significant strike accuracy. Meanwhile, Lopez, 5'11", 146, 31 years old, 72.5, orthodox fighter, 4.10 per match, 53.05 on the accuracy. 27-4, 27-7, experience on both sides. But this is a home bout for Volkanovski, as it will be at the Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney, Australia. I'm going to go with Volkanovski to retain his title, which gives me Nebraska, BYU, Florida, Pistons, Red Wings, and Volkanovski. We have the Pro Bowl games airing on Tuesday, 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. here on 95.3 A Ticket. Have an amazing weekend. Enjoy the sports, as I'll be doing the same. We'll be back next week with more Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.